The Three Sisters by Anton Chekhov, Act 2. In the Prozorov house, the same set as in the first act, almost 2 years later. It is a cold evening in January. We hear faint sounds of an accordion playing outside. There are no lights on in the house. Natasha enters in her dressing gown, carrying a candle. She stops outside the door to Andre's room.
Andre, what are you doing? Reading? Never mind, I just...
Natasha opens a different door and peeks in.
Is there fire?
Natasha closes the door. Andre enters from his room, a book in his hand.
What are you doing, Natasha?
I'm checking for fire. It's carnival week. The servants aren't reliable. We have to be careful that nothing goes wrong. Last night at midnight, I was walking through the dining room and there was a candle burning. Who lit it? Who left it? I could not find out.
Natasha puts her candle down on a small table.
What time is it?
Andre looks at his watch.
8:15.
Olga and Irina not back yet? They haven't come in. Still at work? Poor things. Olga at the faculty meeting, Irina at the telegraph office. This morning, I said to your sister, Irinushka, take care of yourself. But she doesn't listen to me. 8:15, you said? I'm afraid our Bobik isn't well. Why is he so cold? Yesterday he was so warm, and today he's cold. I'm so worried.
It's nothing, Natasha. The boy is healthy.
We should put him on a special diet. I'm worried about him. And they say the carnival entertainers are coming tonight at 9 to put on a show? It's better if they don't come, Andre.
I don't know. They were invited.
This morning, the little darling woke up and looked at me and gave me a big smile. He recognized me. Bobik, I said. Hello, hello, darling. And he laughs. Children understand. They understand perfectly. So, Andrei Shumka, I'll tell the servants not to let the carnival entertainers in.
That's for my sisters to say. They are in charge here.
Yes, they're also in charge. I'll tell them. They're kind.
Natasha is pacing.
I ordered sour milk for your supper. Doctor says you must eat nothing but sour milk or you will never lose weight.
Natasha stops pacing.
Bobik is cold. I'm worried his room is too chilly. Let's put him in a different room until the weather gets warmer. Irina's room is perfect for a baby. It's dry and sunny all day. I'll tell her she can share Olga's room, for now. It doesn't matter. They're only home at night. Andreyusha, why don't you say something?
Just thinking. Nothing to say.
Right. Something I wanted to tell you. Oh yes, Ferapont's outside. Sent from the district council. He wants to see you.
Andre yawns.
Send him in.
Natasha goes out. Andre bends down to read his book by the light of the candle that Natasha left on the small table. Ferapont enters from outside, wearing an old, shabby overcoat, his collar turned up, a scarf over his ears.
Good evening, my soul. What do you want to tell me? Chairman sent you a book and some papers. Here.
Ferapont hands Andre a book and a packet of papers.
Thank you. Fine. But why didn't you come earlier? It's 8:00.
What?
I said you're late. It's 8:00.
Right. When I got here, it was still light, but they wouldn't let me see you. The master is busy, they say. So that is that. Busy is busy. There's no hurry for me.
In the silence, Ferapont thinks Andre has asked him a question.
What?
Nothing.
Andre examines the council book.
Tomorrow's Friday. The council doesn't meet, but I'll take care of it. It's boring at home. I'll go.
Dear old man, it's strange how life changes. Deceives us. Today I was bored, nothing to do. I picked up my old university notes and I had to laugh. Good grief. I'm secretary of the district council. Protopopov is chairman. I'm secretary, and the most I can aspire to is to become a full member. Me, a member of the district council. Me, who dreams every night I'm a professor at Moscow University, a famous scholar, the pride of Russia.
I wouldn't know. My hearing's not good.
If your hearing was good, I probably wouldn't be talking to you. And I have to talk to someone. My wife doesn't understand me. My sisters scare me. I'm afraid they'll laugh at me. I don't drink. I don't like public places. But I'd love to be sitting at Tiestov's or Bolshoi Moskovsky right now, my friend.
The other day at the council, a contractor told us there were merchants in Moscow eating pancakes. One of them ate 40 and almost died. Maybe it was 40. Maybe it was 50. I can't remember.
You sit in a huge dining room of a restaurant. You know no one, and no one knows you, and yet you don't feel a stranger. Here you know everyone, and everyone knows you, but you are alone. A stranger. A stranger and alone.
What? That same contractor said maybe it's not true, maybe he's lying. There's a rope stretched clear across Moscow.
What for?
How would I know? The contractor said it.
Ridiculous.
Andre reads.
Have you ever been to Moscow?
No, I was not. Not God's will.
Andre reads.
Can I go?
You may go. Stay well.
Ferapont exits unnoticed.
Take care. Come back tomorrow morning and pick up these papers. Go. Oh, he's gone.
The doorbell rings.
Yes, life is life.
Andre stretches, then slowly returns to his room. Somewhere in the house, a nanny is singing a lullaby. Masha and Vershinin enter a dark sitting room. As they converse, a maid enters, lighting a lamp and candles.
I don't know. Habit is part of it. After Papa died, it took a long time to get used to living without orderlies around the house. But my history aside, I think I'm being impartial. Maybe it's not this way other places, but here the most decent, honorable, cultured people are military.
I'm thirsty. I could have some tea.
Masha looks at the china clock on the mantelpiece.
Soon we'll be served. I married at 18. I admired my husband because he was a teacher, and I just finished my studies. In those days, I thought he was very clever, well-read, an important person. But not now, sad to say. It's not the same now.
So, yes.
Not meaning my husband, I'm used to him. But in general, civilians are so crude. Bad-mannered, undisciplined people. Crudeness upsets me. When I see a man who is not refined, not gentle, not polite. When I must be with the school teachers, my husband's colleagues, I suffer.
Yes, but I don't think it makes a difference whether they're civilians or military. Everyone here is equally uninteresting. There's no difference. Listen to any educated man here, civilian or military. He's sick and tired of his wife, sick and tired of his house, sick and tired of his estate, sick and tired of his horses. A Russian can envision the most advanced ideas, so why is he so petty in his life? Why?
Why?
Why is he sick and tired of his children? Sick and tired of his wife? Why are his wife and children sick and tired of him?
You're in a bad mood tonight.
Maybe. I haven't eaten nothing since early this morning. One of my daughters is ill, and when the girls are unwell, I'm consumed with remorse. My conscience reproaches me for having given them such a mother. Oh, if you had seen her today. She is beyond petty. We began quarreling at 7 this morning. At 9, I slammed the door and left. I never talk about it. You are the only one I complain to.
Vershinin kisses Masha's hand.
Don't be angry with me. Except for you, I'd have no one. No one.
The stove makes a howling sound.
What a noise from the stove. Before Papa died, there was a howling in the chimney.
The stove makes another howling sound.
There, just like that.
Are you superstitious?
Yes.
Strange.
Vershinin kisses Masha's hand.
You're splendid. A marvelous woman. Superb. It's dark in here, but I see the light sparkling in your eyes.
Masha moves to another chair.
There's more light over here.
I love, 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 I love your eyes. The way you move, come to me in dreams.
When you speak like that, I have to laugh, even though I am afraid. Don't say it again, please.
Masha hides her face with her hands.
Oh, go on. You can say it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Somebody's coming. Speak of something else.